Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Commitment is good, right, guys?
Commitment is good. You want to be committed to your job. You want to be committed to your relationships, to your children. Commitment is good. So should we all feel great about this? Should we all feel great that Jared Goff is the number one committed quarterback in the NFL, according to Dan Graziano, that the Rams have made a bigger commitment to him than any other team in the NFL has made to their quarterback? Is this good news?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily good news. It could be good and bad, depending on how you look at it. It's a money play here. It's certainly a good thing for Jared Goff. Jared Goff probably won't be going anywhere before 2023 just because of his contract structure and the way that they've done things. And look, at the end of the day, I know Jared Goff gets, you know, he gets a lot of grief about a lot of different things all the time about his play. But I would certainly say that he has played his way into this particular contract, and he's been a solid quarterback when you look at the quarterbacks in the NFL. Yes, he took them to the Super Bowl, so there's going to be a natural fall off in terms of expectations. Better yet, there's going to be a natural buildup in terms of expectations, but then he fell off a little bit of those expectations, so people automatically put him in the category of not deserving, which is far from the truth. I thought last year he played good football. He didn't play nearly as well as he did the Super Bowl year, but he didn't play bad to the point where you're looking for a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, you look at this list, Key, and it's, and Dan Graziano put this together, and it's mostly about contracts, but Jared Goff is number one in all the numbers that you just mentioned. But you look at the guys that are immediately behind him, and this, I don't know if this is the company that you want to be in, because Ryan Tannehill is number two. Kirk Cousins is number three. You've got a rookie, Joe Burrow, at number four. You've got Russell Wilson, who I think everybody agrees is a fantastic player, at number five. But then you got Tua at six, so five of the first six guys are guys that are either journeymen or guys that are just getting started. So this is much more about, okay, we've got this guy, there's no other option, as opposed to we love this guy, right?
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. I mean, when you talk about the young guys, they just got drafted. So when you look at the dollars in the sense, the value for that particular player fits in line because it was just drafted. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. They're going to be the quarterback of those teams for the next 4 years at least. Before they start to think about moving on from those guys. And the same thing with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson will be talking about an extension of his contract after this season, believe it or not. After this year coming up, they'll be discussing a contract extension for Russell Wilson beyond the 4 years that he's gotten, because he will now be entering into the third year of that 4 year deal after the season. So teams typically like to try lock future quarterbacks up, and I'm sure his play will stay the same to the point where people will say, okay, he needs to be paid, because Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm, along with Deshaun Watson will get money. So next in line will be guys like Russell Wilson again, right? It'll be the third or the fourth time that he'll be up looking for a contract extension. And so when you start to look at that, it fits in there pretty good. The interesting one also on the list at number eight is Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is there at number eight. I don't know that he's my franchise quarterback. I'm not as keen on him as much as I am in the future of Jared Goff.
I was just going to say, Keith, if you had to pick one of those guys right now, just knowing what we know, Carson Wentz has played really well at times, but can't stay healthy. Jared Goff has played really well at times, but has also had some lulls here or there. If you could just today, starting a team, you got, those are your two quarterback choices. Who do you take?
I'm probably going – hurt, knowing what I know now, I'm probably going to take Jared Goff.
Just because of the durability?
The durability. Like, Carson Wentz has been in and out of the lineup. I understand he got off to a fast start, but he's also made some throws that was questionable in terms of how he delivered the football in such tight quarter situations where you're sitting there, you're going, man, I don't know. He's missing some reads there. He's missing some stuff. So, you know, I don't know if Carson Wentz that we saw his rookie year will ever see again in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform.
Yeah, you know, I think this is how I look at it, Key. And I wonder if this isn't the best way to do it, because you can't just say, you can't look at the landscape of quarterbacks and say, oh, okay, there's Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, and my guy's not as good as that, so I have to continue to look for another guy. That you're always going to come up short unless you've got one of the five or six guys in the league that you know is just a deadlock cinch Hall of Famer. There aren't enough of those guys. You have to look at it like this. What am I paying this guy? Am I paying him the going rate? Yeah. Okay, fine. That's, I have to pay X amount of dollars to have a good quarterback in this league. Is he giving me good performances more often than he is not? Jared Goff absolutely checks that box. Jared Goff took him to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and while last year was a little bit of a regression, it was far from a disaster. They still won 9 games. They still were alive for a playoff spot going into the final week of the season. So, it can't be just, is there another better guy? It's how much better can I be relative to what I have, and how much worse can it be? Because if I want to move on from something, and I don't think that the Rams do, there is another Brian Hoyer waiting for you out there, and you can find yourself in a cycle like the Houston Texans had, where you're going through guys like Brian Hoyer and Matt Schaub and Brock Osweiler and all these guys, where you just cannot find your guy and you're always chasing it, as opposed to saying, you know what, this guy might be a little expensive and I have to commit to him for a long time, but it's good enough and we're going to roll it and we can win games with this dude.
I see what you're doing. You're trying to scare the Rams into keeping Jared Goff by mentioning those quarterbacks' names. You went to Osweiler and all. I'm like, jeez.
But the key thing about Osweiler, they paid him a truckload of money to come in, and he was dreadful.
But that was fool's gold. I don't know what that was. Bill O'Brien got talked into that, or Rick Smith got talked into that one by Bill O'Brien. I don't know how that happened. And you ain't heard of him since, have you?
No, he's been nowhere. But you understand my point, right? The point.
But the Rams aren't. But Rams aren't in that position.
Not even nowhere.
They have their franchise quarterback. They have their franchise quarterback, and until he shows a major, I mean, he's got to be god awful for a couple years before they even would start to think about replacing him with another quarterback. I mean, it's just not, we're not even close to being there. I mean, it's so far removed from moving on from him. It's not even close. It's not even funny. I mean, it's just, he's on the list from a money standpoint. He's protected, and I think even if he stayed where he's at, he's fine for me, because I can put pieces around him. If you go look at last year, Brandon Cooks was hurt. Todd Gurley wasn't whatever. It wasn't the same. There was an offensive line issues. There was problems around him that led to a lot of the 9 wins, lack thereof, 10 wins for the Rams. If you look at the Super Bowl year, everything was aligned and it was perfect. He's that type of quarterback where everything needs to be aligned and be perfect. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with having a quarterback like that. Everything needs to be perfect, and I'm going to excel. That's fine. Most of them are that way. Everybody's not Aaron Rodgers. You know, everybody's just not. And we'll see if everything is perfect for Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady went to 9 Super Bowls, won 6. But everything around was perfect scenarios and situations. Early on in his career, he had a dominant defense in Teddy Bruschi and those guys, and a head coach in Bill Belichick. He had an offense later on in his career that allowed him to push the ball down the field. But it has to be perfect for quarterbacks to be Aaron Rodgers. Things don't have to be all perfect because of his dynamic ability to get out on the perimeter and rip it with the football off his wrist. Everything doesn't have to be perfect for Patrick Mahomes because of his abilities. So in certain guys, that when you look at, he says, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect for this guy to be as successful as he needs to be. If you look at Tom Brady, when it wasn't as perfect, he struggled. When the offensive line wasn't perfect for him, he got sacked. When he ran up against the Giants, that defensive line, the NASCAR guys got after him pretty good. It wasn't perfect. But when things and situations is perfect, when you run up against the Atlanta Falcons and all of a sudden they get tight, they get tight cheeks and can't shoot a BB out of it, they let you come back in the fourth quarter, that's a perfect situation. They scared now. They put you in a situation where they're scared. They're allowing you to come back, and it's perfect for who you are and your style. So all of those sort of things So add with up Keith, if you're having success at that position.
With all of that stuff in mind, when we're talking about it could be worse, you have weapons around him. You have the guy that you believe is going to give you a good enough performance to go out there and a chance to win your division, compete for a championship and all of these things. You got to go all the way down to number 23 on this list. Number 23 on this list is Dak Prescott, because all the stuff it could be a lot worse than Dak. Dak's a good quarterback. Dak and Jared Goff, you look at their numbers, they're very, very similar. So why did Jared Goff get what he got? Why is Jared Goff where we're like, hey, cool. Okay, he's number one on this list. They paid him all this money. They're ready to go. They're committed to him for the next 3 years. And here we are all the way down at 23. And Dak Prescott may have to play on a franchise tag, which is very rare for quarterbacks. It's Drew Brees and Cousins. That's about it that we've seen there. And yet here we are. I know that there's still a little time to get this done, but all those boxes that we were checking for all these other guys, like Goff and whatnot, couldn't you say the exact same thing about Dak Prescott, and yet he's down on the list because they haven't decided to do a deal yet?
Well, that deal is coming, though. If Dan Orlovsky, Lord have mercy, Dan Graziani did
on the brain, right?
I know, right? I'm just like, if Dan Graziani decided to put this list together in spring of 2021, I think that Prescott would be at the top. Yeah, he would be one, I guess, unless Patrick Mahomes and those guys get their deals done. Yeah, he would be in the top five. He would be in the top five. He's not in that list right now because of where they're at in the contract negotiations.
There's no doubt in your mind that this gets done before that July deadline. There's no doubt at all. There's not one small part of your brain that says, you know what, this is kind of weird. You're 100% convinced.
No, I'm not 100% convinced, but what I am 100% convinced of is that he'll be quarterback in the Dallas Cowboys. That's what I am 100% convinced of. I don't know if he'll take the franchise tag and try to roll the dice or if they'll meet and get a deal done.
All right. There is somebody involved in the Major League Baseball negotiations that, as a baseball fan, you do not want involved in the Major League Baseball negotiations. We'll tell you who it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Speaking of
shredded wheat, yes, we do.
What are the updates?
Well, the updates are I am right there on somebody's heels. I am less than 1% away from taking the lead, and I need those people to chime in and vote for me. Get out and vote for Keyshawn Johnson. That's right.
What are the numbers? Hit me with the numbers.
Well, the numbers are LZ is winning with 37.7% of the vote. Keyshawn is close with 35.5%, and Travis, the new campaign method just didn't work. Unfortunately, you're still in the rear with like 26% of the vote.
Just a good old boy.
I told you, trying to pick chocolate is too late, man. Especially
no, I had good. Hold on, I got to look at my list again. I know I had Cocoa Puffs, I had Count Chocula, Sugar Smacks, Dracula, and Crunch. That's all. That's good picks. I'm fine. I'm not worried.
It's not an embarrassing margin. It's pretty close. It's one of our closer votes we've had in a while, but there's less than an hour to vote. 51 minutes left to be exact if you want to get your vote in. Just go to ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter page, and you can cast your vote.
Well, good. I need a win. I'm not going to lie. I like my picks, you know, but it wouldn't be the end of the world to win one of these things.
I think I'll hook you up, Trav. I think a little later we'll do a little last man standing. How about that?
Thank you. We'll good. I'm much better at that because now that just depends on me. I don't need the people to help me with that. I just need my own wits to get through that. Guys, this is exactly what I was worried about.
So get out and vote for Keyshawn, everybody.
We'll see. This is exactly what I was worried about when I was saying over the last week or so that baseball is going to put themselves in an absolutely ugly position, because we're talking about the NBA getting ready to go back. Hockey has a plan to go back. The NFL has always been planning on going back. We're seeing the EPL is back, that NASCAR is back, golf is back. Everybody is coming back. Baseball is arguing about money. Scott Boras, who we all know who he is, he's the most powerful agent in Major League Baseball. He represents 71 players, some of the highest paid players in the game. He is a fantastic agent for his clients. He also wrote a letter to the players saying, do not bail the owners out. This is an excerpt from his memo. Remember, games cannot be played without you. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. Let owners take some of their record revenues and profits from the past several years and pay you the prorated salaries you agreed to accept, or let them borrow against the asset values they created from the use of those profits players generated. Okay, let me stop right there. He's right, okay? He's right that there shouldn't be any sort of negotiation on money. It should be a prorated thing, and if you get 80 games, you should get 50% of your salary. That's half of a season. I get what he's saying, and it's a reasonable that these guys have money in the bank. They're going to make money later. They can figure it out. That's not the issue. The issue, Key, is that everyone else in sports is coming back online, and you've got these guys arguing over money. Whether they're right or not is irrelevant, because no one's going to read the fine print about prorated revenue shares borrowed against future assets. Nobody cares what that means. Nobody understands what that means. All they know is that baseball isn't being played, and it's because they can't agree on how to carve up millions, if not billions of dollars. It is a terrible, terrible look, and this is the beginning of them not playing where everyone else is. It's a bad play.
No, it is. It certainly is. And you know, I think it's all set up when they first started coming out saying that they were not going to play if they wasn't paid the way that they needed to. So with that set up, the owners to send a proposal that made zero sense at 80% of the high net guys. Now they didn't have any room to you know, fight back. If they would have said to themselves, okay, if the owner sent a percentage of, call it 50%, now you got a little bit of wiggle room to say something and fight back. But they sent 80%. There's no room now. Now it looks like you're being total greedy if you say anything at all. And now you got Scott Boras saying, don't do this. It sounds even more greedy. So it's like, okay, you're not going to win in this situation, dude. The best thing to do is just now they got them in a situation where you're barking at 80%. You barking at 80%. They like, you know, because they're not looking at that number. They just hear pay cut.
Yep.
They don't look at the percentages like you said. All they hear is pay cut. And you're basically saying you don't want to take a pay cut.
Look, this will be negotiated. Like you've been through negotiation. I've been through negotiation. The other side is going to come in with a terrible offer to start. That's the way that it works typically, right? That's just the way that I'm going to offer really low. You're going to ask for really high. We're going to meet somewhere in the middle. If that's what this is, that's fine. If this is just the normal ebb and flow of a negotiation, then whatever. But they need to couch it a little differently. They need to be very concerned about the optics because, like I mentioned, everyone else is getting ready to go. I mean, literally everything else is getting ready to go. That baseball is the one. When we talked with Bobby Marks yesterday and the question was asked to him about, hey, what about the split in money in the NBA? It never comes up. Why not? And he said, look, the players are going to get ready to go and they're going to be a season. And the baseball exclusively is talking about this money. And we know that baseball has an older demographic. We know that they're having trouble connecting with younger people. We know that all these things are true. We also know that people, even though it's been a long time since we've had a labor issue in Major League Baseball, that's still a pretty raw wound with a lot of baseball fans. If they do it again, God only knows how long it would take for them to get back to where they are.
Well, I mean, that's all part of the collective bargaining agreement. That's all part of the way that one feels. And look, the owners agreed to something early on during spring training that they didn't foresee where we are today. Mm-hmm. And I understand that part. I get that part. I understand it. We were going to pay to play. I got it. The money changed. There's no fans in the stands. There's no parking. There's no concessions. There's none of this, that. And I'm also suffering on my other businesses. I understand all of those sort of things. But when you come to the players with an 80% reduction, it's a little bit much, because at the end of the day, no one ever told those owners to get into those other businesses, and no one ever told those owners to negotiate a $500 million deal with Mike Trout. No one ever said do that. They decided to do that up on their own. Now you want me to give you 80% of my money back. I'm not willing to do that, but I might be willing to give you 30, 35, you know, somewhere well, can, in that
what,
range.
What if you're not? What if you're not Mike Trout or Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or one of these crazy high earners? What if you're more of these guys that fall into the middle, and instead of they're not asking for 80, they're asking for somewhere around 50. They're asking somewhere in the 40s or the 30s, and the less money you make, the more percentage of your money that you get to keep. The 80 at Mike Trout, that's a non-starter, and I think we all agree on that. But for the vast majority of people, they don't fall into that category.
There's going to be a number. There's a percentage that I'm willing to give back, but there's not. There's a percentage that I'm willing to give back, but I'm not willing to give you 50%. I'm not willing to do that. I don't even make anything.
Even if we're only playing 50% of a season.
If we play 50% of the season, then that's the same. Then that's the same that we negotiated in the springtime. We negotiated pay for play.
Yeah. So in other words, if I'm not getting a pro, so whatever percentage of the season,
pro rate,
exact same.
Let's do a pro rate.
But if they're saying we can't do that, we don't have the money, and they know that they've got you backed into a corner as a player, are you still going to say I'm not doing it? I'm not doing it. Football's playing, basketball playing, everyone else.
No, we're going to try to come to some resolution. Maybe it isn't 50%. Maybe it's 40. Maybe it's 35. But we'll come to some resolution to get back on the diamond. I want to play.
Trevor Bauer is a major league player, a very outspoken major league player. And he fired back at Scott Boras on Twitter saying, stay out of this. You keep your personal opinions out of this. Let the players negotiate this. Let the Players Association negotiate this. It is weird that an agent, and let's be honest, look, of the 71 guys that Scott Boras represents, those are virtually all high earners. He's got some of the highest earners in baseball. So I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, he get paid when they also, get paid. So.
Right. But there's 750 major league players, give or take. And if he's
you think he really 10%. You think he really care about those other
I don't.
Those other 90% of the players, he could care less. Man, he's trying to figure out how to buy his next yacht.
Nor should he be worried about those other 90% of the guys. He doesn't represent them. He represents the 10% of the guys that he does have. But the point being is that you've got a union that represents 100% of these guys. They got to figure out what's best for most of them. You're never going to please everybody. So I got to come up with something that pleases 100% or at least most of my guys, not the 10% of the guys that I represent. They're very different agendas between the PA
and Scott Boras. But Trevor doesn't want him injecting negative things into his clients' minds about, you know, when you represent 10% and the 10% you represent, let's say another out of that 10%, 75% of them are guys that you would consider controlling the league. You don't want them pushing back on the PA and having the PA push back on the owners. You know, you don't want that domino effect and with his influence over those other players. So I understand exactly what he's saying about stay in your lane.
Key, very quickly, when you were a player and you're negotiating contracts, how often were you listening to your agent versus the union versus just what you thought was right?
It was what I thought was right, and it was really, really what my agent thought was right, because we kind of would speak the same language anyway. I mean, we're on the same page. He was smart enough as a lawyer, graduate of USC and a lawyer. He understood collective bargaining. He understands all of those things. So me to be able to lean on him and get the information that I didn't understand or I didn't know, I can get it from him. I mean, because he's in the know. He's been doing it for a long time.
If he's telling you A and the union's telling you B, you're going to listen to A.
Well, he's going to explain it in such a way that he lets you know that it makes sense to do it or don't do it. I mean, that's just how it is. His was not, I would say, if it had anything to do with the union or negotiating anything, it was not self-gratification. He never negotiated a deal for me for the next client. I never felt that way.
They got to figure it out, because if they're not playing and everyone else is, that's just the worst look that you could possibly imagine. All right. We said that one of the docs we want to see is a Tiger Woods doc. It may be coming sooner than you think. That's next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Here's some good news, guys. This is really good news. According to MLB reporter Francis Romero, David Price is going to give every Dodgers minor leaguer $1,000 in June. Of course, we said that the minor league season is pretty much a wrap at this point. Those guys don't make much money to begin with. David Price is going to go into his own pocket and give him $1,000 in June. That's fantastic.
All right. It's beyond fantastic, especially when you consider, first of all, how little minor league players get anyway under normal circumstances. You know, it's this is our feeder system to professionals, and we're asking, you know, young men to not only try to get better as players so they can one day make the majors, but to do all of that with not a shoestring budget, but no budget, basically.
Yeah. David Price is starting it, and I'm sure there'll be other people that'll follow for their teams, as well as other people on the Dodgers will step up. Other team players will step up, and you'll see here over the next several weeks, players start to say, you know what, we're going to chip in too, because that's the way it always goes. It's like that in football where guy, you know, says, well, if you score the first touchdown, I got 500 for you. The next guy says, I got 500, you know. Or even when the practice squad guys that we have on practice squad, when the season is over, in the past, there was no practice, there was no playoff shares for the practice squad. So a lot of guys would just take some of their funds and put it in a pot and give it to the several practice squad guys for being there for us during that time.
Well, the real cool thing about David, too, is the fact that, remember, he's yet thrown a pitch for the Dodgers.
Yeah, exactly right. I was just going to say that he's the new guy in town, and he hasn't played for them yet, and yet he's going to break off a whole bunch of money for a whole bunch. I mean, it's not like it's a handful of guys. You're talking about the whole minor league system. You're talking about dozens, if not hundreds, of players, so that's a lot of money.
Well, he obviously spent some time in the minors, so he knows what it's like sleeping in a bus. He knows what it's like sleeping on a bus, eating out of cans. He knows what that stuff is like. Just like I know what it's like catching up in the polls. Ooh, I'm catching up.
I'm on your, you've got the lead again,
I'm on your heels.
We can just leave it at that.
I'm on your heels, though, LZ. LZ, I'm on your heels.
Well, hold you on my heels. That's supposed to be my back.
There's 33 minutes left to vote, and Keyshawn has caught up within a single digit of you, and this is going to be close. It's going down to the wire. Predictably, you know, Travis is in last, so we're not going to worry about that. But it's getting close.
Ooh, vote for those Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, Captain Crunch. Vote away.
This is exciting. Are we going to go into overtime?
No, it'll be the overtime.
In the event of a tie,
it's
what's
be
the
a
tiebreak
finish?
Yeah.
I guess I'll break this. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one that's healthier for the kids. I don't know.
Because them honey nut, them Wheaties or whatever. What did you get? You got.
Hold on, I got it right here. I got to look. It's LZ has
frosted shredded wheat,
Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms, and Frosted Mini Wheats. That's
LZ's
list.
You got a bunch of chalk. Lucky
Charms, Frosted Mini Wheats
chalk.
Are gross.
Fruit Loops is chalk.
The Fruit Loops are good, man.
No, they're good, but they got that chalky.
Let me get this straight, Keith. This is not your strategy. You're not satisfied with what you selected. You have to try and tear down what I selected. Okay.
I don't have to tear down anything that you selected. Okay. I'm good with Captain Crunch, and I'm good with Captain Crunch and Cheerios. Cheerios last forever. Kids eat Cheerios. You can drop some on the ground, and your dogs will take them and chomp them right up.
All right, I'm going to take this up a notch.
And on top of that, hold on. The cholesterol in Cheerios help out with cholesterol. You need to know that, son.
Listeners, I'm going to take it up a notch. If Keyshawn wins, I'm going to go on Amazon and send him a case of his number one cereal to his house.
I got to see what his number
Cheerios.
One pick is. Cheerios is his number one pick.
Yes, I
that'll
was
last 10
Cheerios.
Years.
He'll never get it out of us.
I eat Cheerios. You know, babies eat Cheerios. Like I said, Cheerios is healthy.
There. Okay. If Keyshawn wins, I will. If you win, Keyshawn, I will send you an Amazon box.
Like who eats Frosted Wheats except their grandmother? Like
grape nuts. Special well,
will, grape nuts.
I will say I had a bowl this morning. I'm not going to lie. I've got some here. I had a bowl
of grape nuts.
You?
No, Frosted Mini Wheats.
Yeah, but you got to understand, Raj is in that. Raj is in that fake. I'm a fake trainer workout guy, so I'm gonna eat. You know, I'll eat anything that'll make people think that I'm a real workout warrior. Like, get out of here.
Once again, you are incapable of talking up your own list. All you can do is try to tear down mine. Because you ain't said nothing about the Rice Krispies.
Nothing's wrong with Rice Krispies at all. Nothing's wrong with honeycombs. Nothing's wrong with Rice Krispies. Rice Krispies can be used a lot of different ways, okay?
And yet, you didn't say anything until I brought it up.
Well, you have two cereals on that list that are basically mouth shredders, because Captain Crunch and Honeycomb is like eating a bowl of glass. I mean, it's just those things are going to do some damage to the inside of your mouth.
No, Captain Crunch is legit. Okay,
no,
Captain
it tastes Crunch good, but legit. It's going to carve you up, and so is Honeycomb.
Well, it depends on how you chew. I think I've demonstrated that I know how to. But
you're
gonna survive. You also gonna survive your cholesterol level when you eat them Cheerios.
Yeah,
guys, we have a development. Talking about this, and they've heard both you guys are all three of you argue your points and make cases. Keyshawn has lost 2% of the vote. your campaign against LZ has backfired against you. You are within a point. Now you are a full 3 percentage points down. You got to come up with a new campaign.
LZ over there clicking the buttons. I know what you're doing.
I just want to thank all the listeners and voters out there. I want to have a big tent. I want everyone to feel as if there's a bowl and a glass of milk for you. I don't want anyone to be left out. Go ahead and eat shredded wheats.
In America, you can eat shredded wheats.
You can eat cereals. You can eat Frosted Flakes. I'm not having anyone kicked out of a tent. I want everyone to be brought into the breakfast
tent. If your tent has shredded wheat in it, I'm not coming.
Exactly. Shredded wheat is somehow, come on, man.
Somehow you Travis has lost more votes in this time. Somehow you've gone under 25%.
I'm fine. You should try to go make some marshmallow shredded wheat to see how that work out.
That sounds terrible. That sounds absolutely terrible. Take it or shake it. It's coming up.
Marshmallow shredded wheat treats.
No, stop saying that. It's ruining my day. All right, NFL right out of the chute, Key. New Arizona Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins was on Jalen and Jacoby, and he says he is the best in the business. Here's DeAndre Hopkins.
I definitely think I'm the best. I know I'm the best. You know, Mike, my boy, I love Mike. We was chasing yesterday, but he know if I had Drew Brees my whole career, what these numbers would be. Julio Jones know if I had Matt Ryan my whole career. That's my boy. I trained with Julio, too. He know what these numbers would be. So, you know, those guys are definitely blessed to be in a position where their whole career they had a Pro Bowl quarterback that they spent, you know, multiple seasons with. You know, but I don't complain. I don't make excuses. I go out and work. Obviously, you know, my team won the division championship 5 out of 7 years since I was there. And I think every team in the division went out and tried to get a DB every draft to stop what was coming to them every year. But, you know, nothing against those guys. But, you know, I definitely made 3 all-pro first teams also.
DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the NFL. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Shake it.
Take it. All right, take it.
Yeah, I don't know that he's the best. He's certainly one of the best. That was the question. He basically answered, well, I'm not going to take it because it ain't going to be a yes or a no. So I had to shake it because he's one of the best. And he answered his own question he answered Jacoby's own question by saying that if he had the situations that other players are in, then he would benefit from that. Well, guess what? You did have Deshaun Watson as a Pro Bowl quarterback, and you benefited from it. And that's just what it is. Michael Thomas has only been in the league 4 years. Julio Jones has been with Matt Ryan 7 years. So it's not one of those deals where you would, if you were on the board, that they would take you first. They wouldn't take you over Julio Jones if he was on the board. I'm sorry to say that. DeAndre
would Julio go off the board first? Would Julio be
Julio Jones would go off the board first over all of them.
And just because of the way his size and all that?
You can't cover him. It's his size. It's all of those sort of things. And DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best receivers in the league, no question. It's hard to make somebody number one when you're depending on quarterbacks, offensive line, coaches, all of calling the plays. It's all that. But from an ego standpoint, there's nothing wrong with him feeling like he's the best receiver in the league. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, you
doesn't
made
the
Pro
fact
Bowls
that he
and
played...
you made all pros. Okay, man, they throw the ball 17,000 times nowadays. So that doesn't make you the best in the league. He certainly is. He's certainly going to cook you. There's no question about it. He's really, really good.
But when you get to the receiver position, man, there's about five guys that if they was on the board, we would be happy with and not complaining.
If I'm putting up numbers, though, with a lesser quarterback, and keep in mind that DeAndre Hopkins, the guy that's thrown him the most passes in his career, is Brock Osweiler. If I'm able to do that with him, doesn't that make me the best? Instead of Matt Ryan or Drew Brees?
But you can't say you're the best based on statistics. Let's get away from the stats, because if you were the team that's throwing the ball a whole bunch and y'all losing all the time and y'all throwing the ball in the second half to catch up and you getting your touches –
that doesn't make you the best. Like, again, he's a top five dude. I would be happy having him, Michael, Julio Jones,
Cooper Kupp.
Who else am I missing? I'm missing somebody.
Robert Woods.
Amari Cooper?
I would be happy having Amari Cooper. I would be happy having OBJ. I would be happy if they all failed in me and I had to pick and choose one of them.
Outside of Julio Jones would be the top dude. Then after that, you go kind of, well, Mikey's there, but if for some reason I didn't get Julio, I'm happy with Mikey. I'm happy with OBJ. I'm happy with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm happy with him. Those dudes are legit.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. JT Daniels is transferring to Georgia from USC. JT Daniels will be the starting quarterback for the Bulldogs. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
No? Shake. Oh, man, come on.
No, they got somebody down there we don't know nothing about. Probably 6'5", you know, big old arm. We don't know nothing about him. JT Daniels is going to compete, I'm sure, and he's not running away from competition. But going to Georgia in the summer, not being in a program until the summer, certainly is going to hurt him. Coming off an ACL is going to hurt him. Trying to learn the offense is going to hurt him. Why he went to another major school like that, I have no idea. And I always tell guys, when they transfer, when you've already been at the big time, stop chasing the big time. Now, you know what? Go settle in at a San Diego State, a Boise State. Go and just go. You know what I'm saying? Get on the field. Don't go and try and go somewhere just because it's a Power 5 school. Don't do that. You've already done the Power 5 thing. Go somewhere where you're going to get on the field and you're going to make a difference. You see what I'm saying?
Because there's
a guy named Jordan Love that went to Utah State. He was the first round pick of the Green Bay Packers. So, you going to Georgia, Georgia's going to stack them up on you. They stacking them up on you. You going to have about four or five dudes that's five stars, four stars coming in there. So you might want to take
Georgia,
a look.
Georgia's giving you top 10, top five, maybe a number one overall pick.
You're going to win.
Utah State, you can go in the first round. But if you hit, that's the best you can do at Utah State.
LZ, yeah. This is where you leave this up to me. you stay out of this. I'm telling you, when you have already been to the big time, you don't transfer. You can,
but I would suggest if he asks me that you might want to look for less than Power 5 type school that has never seen anything like you before. So you can go in and flourish at a different level. And people take notice.
Now, you go to Georgia if you want to and let them stack it up on you. You go right ahead. You go on chasing them Power 5 schools when you already done been to one ain't the best decision to be making. Now, You can ask football people if you don't want to believe me. Go ask some more football people.
I'm not arguing with your knowledge of the game. I'm just saying history has shown some stuff. And that's
history,
my role.
And history has
Your role is to break stuff down.
And history has shown.
My role is to show you what history says.
Look here, Locks. History has shown that when you go to a less than Power 5 type school, now you can go to a Power 5 school. You can go to, you can transfer to a smaller Power 5 school.
Georgia's a top 5 school.
That's
never mind
a
Power
top
5. Top
dog, though. They got to stack it up on you.
Let's move to the next one. Let's go to Major League Baseball. Here's Jeff Passan talking about Major League Baseball being in a tough spot with their restart.
At some point, as the NBA is looking to go to Disney World, and as the NHL has a return to play plan, and as the NFL is looking to open training camps, baseball just becomes the sport that fights. And that's not the reputation that you want to have right now. So I think there, you know, the sense of urgency isn't just to get back on the field, but to rescue baseball from this fight right now that nobody really wants to hear about or nobody wants to see. They understand it.
MLB will be in the worst spot after the pandemic of all the major sports. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Shake it.
I don't think so. Shake it all around.
No, I don't think so at all. I think that they'll get it together. They'll figure it out. They've been in these situations. How many times, though, Travis, like this? Not pandemic situations, but whether it was strikes.
Labor issues? They've been really good for about 20 years, but prior to that, they went through this about every 4 or 5 years. It was a regular occurrence.
Yeah, so but they've been in situations that they've had to resolve, and they've been able to resolve them is what I'm saying.
At great expense.
But they still was able to get it done.
They forfeited the World Series.
But after a while, baseball is just boring anyway. So it's kind of like fans. If fans is only going to show up to certain teams' games anyway. I mean, when you look at certain stadiums, they're going to be empty anyway, unless that team is just flat out good. Otherwise, when you look at some of them teams as bad, them stadiums is just empty. It's so empty the flies, the moths don't even want to sit down.
This is an opportunity, though, where they could have been one of the first to come back and could have been one of the guys to just come back and filling this void that we have right now and maybe grab some of those people. And if they turn around and all of a sudden they're last, that is a bad, bad look for them. All right, Mike Bone joined us yesterday. You feeling any better about where the USC football program is? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.